You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Why does my seafood do that? Answering some unasked questions from martial arts students. As a martial arts instructor, during any given class session, I must frequently make a number of decisions about a number of things. Some of these decisions might include, if I see the need to stray from my lesson plan, which concept, technique, or drill should I select? If I see that a student is making several errors, which error is the most important one for me to focus on? Assuming that I'm teaching a group and that I am correcting an individual student's mistakes, how much time is appropriate to spend on that particular student, whether he or she eventually gets it or not? Two of my students are sparring. At any given moment, do I coach both of them equally, or one more than the other, or neither? These are only some of the possibilities. If you're the instructor and you make one of these choices, should you take the time to explain why you did so to the class? If you spend too much time explaining your choices, you're wasting time that could be spent instructing. Of course, you should explain the drills and techniques as much as you think is necessary for an efficient learning process, but don't feel the need to explain in order to justify yourself or your decisions. You should trust your students to trust you, and then get on with the task at hand. Yet it sometimes is the case that the student will wonder why you made a decision, without actually voicing his or her thoughts. There have been many occasions in the past when I've seen a look on a student's face that was pretty easy to decipher. That look says, "Why the hell did he do that?" It's important for the instructor to imagine how things look and sound from the viewpoint of the students. Students will usually not ask such questions out loud for fear of appearing disrespectful or embarrassingly ignorant. In the final analysis, this phenomenon comes down to trust. All instructors fall somewhere on a trust spectrum. On one end is the instructor that has so impressed you with his or her reputation or actions that if he or she told you to go stand on your head in the corner, gargle peanut butter, and juggle BBs, you would happily comply to the best of your ability. On the other end of the spectrum is the instructor that is so obviously not qualified, so blatantly a fraud, that if he asked you to take a $100 bill from his hand and keep it, you would hesitate. Once you meet an instructor and make the decision to train with him, you've decided to place a certain amount of trust in him. But it's also important to remember that first impressions can be wrong. It's true that I am a skeptic and that I espouse skepticism to you, dear listener, on a regular basis. So you should never reject that part of you that wonders if you should have made the decision to trust this instructor. Sometimes the fact that you don't understand your instructor's actions might lead you to question your decision to trust him with your time and money in the first place. So maybe I can set your mind at ease about some of these questions. Let's discuss a few common ones that might occur to the student and thus induce him or her to make that face. The first question is, why is he making us do this? The word "this" can refer to a drill or a technique. There are many times when I instruct the students to practice a technique that I'm sure they don't fully understand. I do always try to make clear to them that it's an important technique, and to even give them a cursory illustration of why. But it's important for the student to remember and understand that even though part of the reason that they're taking classes is to develop a deeper understanding of the particular martial art being practiced, sometimes they are better served by simply shutting up and focusing on the repetitions given them to do. If the instructor were, in every single case, to really delve into the arcane depths of why this technique or drill is important, the class sessions would soon change from workouts into lectures. A more serious version of such a question is sometimes evident from the irritation on the face of the student, and it goes like this. Why is he making me learn something I don't want to learn? Such an internal question frequently stems from both ignorance and arrogance, a dangerous combination. The ignorance is the ignorance of the big picture, of not understanding how every little drill and technique fits together to make a greater whole. The arrogance is in assuming that they, as the student, already know precisely what they need to learn. Frequently, such students are also the ones who want to learn how to defend against something without learning very much about it. I discussed this phenomenon before in an earlier podcast entitled Essence and the Martial Arts. You can't expect to learn, for example, to defend efficiently against knife attacks if you don't understand knife fighting, at least to a certain degree. Yet you will find students who will ask you to teach them defense against a knife, and when you ask them to pick up a training knife, will refuse, or at least hold the practice knife as if it is an unclean object. In the same vein, you can't understand how to defend against a good kicker unless you at least learn a modicum of kicking skills yourself. This ties in with what psychology calls the Dunning-Kruger effect. This effect was discovered through meticulous research that has been replicated many, many times. One aspect of the Dunning-Kruger effect is that when you are ignorant of a subject, you will usually overestimate how much you do know about it by a factor of 5. In other words, most of us, when we are ignorant of a subject, are so ignorant that we're not competent to judge just how ignorant we are. What's doubly frightening is to think about the Dunning-Kruger effect in the year 2018, when a strong anti-intellectualism and anti-trained expert movement is at hand. On occasion, one of my more experienced students will approach me as I'm watching one of the other students and say something to me like, "He's dropping his right hand." Such a statement reflects that this more advanced student is ignorant of the fact that when I see a student making more than one mistake at the same time, my preferred method is to concentrate on the worst mistake he's making and to mindfully and purposely not draw attention to or correct his other mistakes. Sometimes the more experienced students see this, don't understand my method, and thus wish to offer some help by pointing out something that they think I don't see. It's my experience that when a student is practicing a technique, especially one that is very new or awkward to him, it's a mistake to load him down with a lot of different corrections. This only serves to confuse him. If I were a less thoughtful instructor, overcorrecting might perhaps serve to puff up my ego about just how much I know about the martial arts, and to show it to him. Okay, let's move on to the next unasked question. Frequently, when watching two of my students spar or roll, I will offer more advice to the more experienced of the two students than to the one with less experience. This might seem strange at first, but there's method in my madness. So long as the sparring is structured in such a way that no one's getting hurt and no one is being humiliated, it's my experience that the beginner is better served by mostly leaving him alone to learn from the experience, only occasionally throwing in pithy bits of advice. At that stage, there are so many different things wrong with his ability and understanding that he's best served by cooking for a while longer, or in other words, doing more mat time or ring time, than by spending time listening to me drone on about his deficiencies. Let me pause here for a moment and point something out. There is a subspecies of martial arts instructor who covers up his laziness and his ignorance by answering nearly every question from a student with, "You just need more mat time," or, "You just need more ring time." Now, this combination of laziness and arrogance in an instructor really pisses me off, so please don't bunch me in with this group. It's simply the case that on occasion this argument is actually true, and a good instructor knows when to set his ego aside and allow experience to teach the student much better than he can. The more advanced student of the two, on the other hand, could often benefit greatly from a brief, carefully worded bit of advice. This is usually the case because the particular facet of his game in question is very close to making the quantum leap to another level, and only needs one or two new pieces to finish the puzzle of that particular facet. That bit of coaching is much more useful to the advanced student than it would be to the beginning student. Sometimes when I do this, the less experienced student will look at me and ask, "Why are you helping him? He's kicking my ass." In such cases, I do find it necessary to offer the same explanation, which I just offered to you. If you too are an instructor, don't let the sad puppy dog eyes of the beginner deter you when the need arises to offer a quick bit of advice to the more advanced student. In the final analysis, if you trust your instructor, you would save a great deal of time by practicing the techniques or drills he gives you without letting such questions bother you. Of course, you should feel free to ask questions when they occur to you. Just remember that if your trust in your instructor is justified, his grasp of the bigger picture is much better than yours. Well, this wraps up my treatment of several common unasked questions from martial arts students. I hope it helps to expand your understanding of what goes on inside a good martial arts instructor's head. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, or get your hands on a Martial Brain t-shirt, or check out old episodes of the podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.